the wiring was an interesting venture, which we hired one electrician, and we didn't realize he had lost his license and really didn't know what he was doing. And then we had to hire another company. That was kind of a crazy scene, but we did finally find a really good electrician who didn't do the whole building. We still need to do another $10,000 worth of wiring in here to do the living room and bedrooms, but the rest of it is now coated and safe wiring, which is huge because the wet areas are where you really need it.
You know, when you mention the word funky kitchen or funky looking kitchen, all we have to do is look downstairs and get a sense of what the kitchen looks like.
The upstairs kitchen.
So if
you look at, one of the next things when we get some more money is to do the kitchen downstairs. But if you look at the kitchen downstairs, that gives you an idea of what the kitchen upstairs. It was a few notches better than that because it did have wood, but it was pretty bad. I found some old pictures of it, and I was kind of stunned at, oh my gosh, it was that bad. Yikes.
And besides the downstairs kitchen, the notion that this house is not handicapped accessible is kind of a, would you say it's a burr on our side, or how would you say it?
Yeah, in our plans for the house, we knew that the accessibility thing was eventually going to have to be resolved, especially if you're in the rental business, because renters require it now, have always, but now demand it. And frankly, we've had committees look at it over the years. Actually, when I moved here, after Bapak's visit, they were talking about it. And we had an architect who lived here, and she did a design of a ramp at the side of the building, which is one of the options we're looking at now. But it just, no one ever could figure out how to fund it, and it just kind of didn't, it just didn't happen. But now we've been in the rental business and getting a fairly reasonable number of rentals, and we've had problems with people showing up in motorized wheelchairs and not being able to access. And watching them, people carry them up the stairs is kind of a tricky experience, to say the least.
So take us through the decision to create Spring Street Center and how that all came together.
Well, one of the premises when we started the renovation, we realized that we had to have more revenue other than members' donations to pay for the renovations. And because I'd been in the rental business at Hope Street Hall and seen a Subud facility rented successfully, and actually there they were bringing in about $200,000 a year, Subud, New York is doing a similar kind of amount of revenue, I've heard. But anyway, so everything we did here, the paints, everything we talked about was how to make it. We bought more chairs, how many we need. Everything was towards a rental business. And then there was discussion of, in my background, that you calling a building, when you rent it, you want a rental name. You want a name. For instance, Hope Street Hall was renamed California Conference Center. The Subud House in New York was renamed the Chelsea Center. The Subud House in London is called the Amadeus Center. From that experience, I realized that we needed to look for a name. So I recommended, the name just immediately came to me, actually it was Spring Street Center. It was one of the first names that came up. And we attested about it, and it was a good thing. There was some pushback from some members saying, well, does it mean we're ashamed of being a Subud house? And I said, no, it's not, you know, they're still going to hear about Subud. It's just that if we have a neutral name, you don't have to start your meeting with a client by explaining Subud. You start by explaining what they want, which is a rental. They're not walking in the door to find out about Subud. They well will find out about Subud, but their first question was to be, does this meet my needs? What I've seen with names for buildings, it's best to have them named after a locale, a street, like Chelsea Center identifies where it is in New York, so you immediately say, oh, that's in a neighborhood I like, Chelsea Center. In fact, it's not in Chelsea, it's right at the edge of it, but they named it that anyway because it's an upscale name, so it gives, yeah. And Spring Street is a very trendy name in Seattle. The business district, they call it the Spring Street Business District. In fact, we've had clients lost downtown because they don't know that we're at the other end of Spring Street. But Spring Street it's also spring is a light name. Out of that, a decision was made, let's go with Spring Street Center. And we looked at a bunch of other names too.
The house was renovated, and you had the chairs, and you bought the tables, and then what happened? What happened next?
Well, then, I started renting. Then Paul showed up, and Paul became engaged in the rental business. And we actually interviewed people. We thought, well, we'll hire out to a rental company who does this kind of rental. And we interviewed several, and the amount of money they wanted was unbelievable. Between the percentage, and it was very, very expensive. So we decided, well, that's not going to work. That's too expensive. So let's do it in-house. So I did it for a short time. Paul has done it, and I back up Paul. So we've been in it for 2 years. We've just doubled our revenue from last year, and I think every year, as we become better known, like some people said, we're the best kept secret in Seattle. I think that as people find us, and right now, the key thing for us is to keep ourselves looking good. But this issue of putting in the handicap access is just going to give us one less thing people can say no about.
Right. You got to be able to meet rebuttals.
Right.
So now I'm getting a sense in the timeline of where I came in, as you mentioned. And I just one more question about Spring Street Center. Tell us the most memorable rental event since the renovation.
I think the one that was kind of interesting was the Filipino community. The very first rental we had was a Catholic priest coming from the Philippines, and he gave a mass in the chapel, and I thought how appropriate in a way to have a sacred ceremony as the very first thing. They were the very first event, so I think that was memorable in several ways. One is it was very beautiful. It was also great because the Filipino community. It was just great to see a community using the building, the whole building, and just having a great time, plus having a sacred ceremony in the chapel, which when it was a church, obviously had many ceremonies, you know, like religious ceremonies, church services, and then our Latihan, which is a worship experience over all the number of years we've been here, which is almost 40 now, I believe.
Next year will be the 40th anniversary. The question about Subwood's future. There was an article in the newsletter reflecting on the changing demographics and basically the sentiment by a lot of older members that the older members are dying and there's not enough younger members really joining up. So what are your thoughts about the future of Subwood as you see it?
Over the years, I try to withhold those kinds of thoughts of, you know, trying to explore where Subwood will go, because I've been in groups that I arrived and everybody said, well, you know, this group is just going nowhere, and then I leave, I come back there, and the whole group is completely transformed, you know, young people. So what may appear on the surface doesn't necessarily happen. I have to suspend any kind of worry because it's not in our hands in a lot of ways. I think as a group we're doing having the house now in such beautiful condition. I think that we're much more attractive, at least physically, much more attractive than we were. And so there's no barriers like people coming to the building and looking at it and going, I wouldn't walk in there. It looks so terrible. So at least we don't have that barrier. But I don't know. I'm always surprised just when I think have thought over the years that a group or something, I think I've got it figured out, and I'm always proven wrong. So I'll have to just, that's it for me. I'm not sure I can really, I'm not worried though.
So you're optimistic, basically.
It's my nature to be optimistic.
Well, you know what they say, Marston, the optimist gets the donut and the pessimist gets the hole. Anyway, just in closing, I'm so grateful for all the work that you do. Again, today it's a day where you're doing work all morning. Okay, it may be 90 in your condo and you don't want to be there, but you're here, you're doing work. There are burrs all over your feet. Just on behalf of everyone at Subud, thanks so much for the work that you do.
Yeah, it's. I really can't say it's. As I'm retired now, semi-retired, I do a few consulting jobs and stuff, but it's really a gift to me to be actively retired, able to work here, and hope others will join in and feel the same, but it's really an honor, really.